Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated. It's a wonderful time out here. And we trust God for navigation into His present revelation position. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory. And as we look upon the truth of your word, we ask, Lord, for penetration, for access in the name of Jesus. Give us the grace to contain, the grace to retain, and the grace to release in the days to come, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, so we were talking about the spirit of wisdom and revelation as a pivotal basis of entrance into the realm of our reality. And without the spirit of wisdom and revelation, what we have is the written word of God. It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation that translates the written word of God into the living word of God. And if the word of God is not infused with life, if it's not infused with life, it has not been sent. In order for the word of God to go on errand, it has to be infused with life, it has to be infused with divine life, and it has the divine potency and the ability to perform what it has been sent to perform. So without the word, if the word of God is not living, it has not been sent yet, so it cannot perform anything in your life. You can keep it in the columns of head knowledge, but it doesn't have the ability to perform anything. Even though it's a compendium of the thought patterns of God, and if you take it in, you know the thoughts of God, and it's a very good investment for you to take in the logos of God's word. But when we come into prophetic reality, the ability to do the works of God and to operate within the sphere that God has invited us to be partakers, we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation as the basis of gaining access into the blessed knowledge that releases the things that God is offering to us. Now, so we are going to spend some time to dwell on the spirit of wisdom and revelation. No, leave the boat. I'm coming down there. Hallelujah. I'm so far away from the people I'm talking to up here, and I'll be migrating down once and again. Psalms 36. Let's just begin a journey. Psalms 36. For several, many people that are preachers of the word of God at this point in time, there is a drought. There is a death. Because of the fact that we have learned how to function without the spirit of wisdom and revelation, what we are doing is cyclical. We pick the same things, retitle them, say them again. But you see, everything that is given from God is as deep as God, and the movements of God, the revelations of God, the operations of God are progressive. And so if at any point in time we find out that there's stagnancy, it is because we have divorced from the operation of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I want us to dwell on that a little and really understand what exactly is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's not the same thing. The spirit of wisdom is different from the spirit of revelation. Now, in the book of Psalms 36, hallelujah, Psalms 36, I'd like us to look at that for a moment. Hallelujah. Now, if we read from verse 8, it says, "There shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee," amen. Why is it that he will make us drink of the river of his pleasure? Then he goes to explain the next verse. He says, "For with thee is the fountain of life." Now, notice that it is life first. "With thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. Now, what this? We are talking about an illumination that is life-based. Alright? Jesus said, he that cometh after me shall have the light of life. And there is an illumination that comes from the life that you carry. And I need to explain the difference between everlasting life and eternal life. Because there are some fundamental truths that if they are not established in your life, you will not make progress spiritually beyond a certain point. As we'll come to see shortly. What is eternal life? Because we, in order for us to understand that scripture, we need to do a refresher course on the substance of eternal life and how it is different from everlasting life. Alright? Now, I happen to have studied chemistry during my university days many, many years ago. And the basic form of analysis that we have in chemistry is either we do quantitative analysis or qualitative analysis. All right? Everlasting life is quantitative and eternal life is qualitative. Now Jesus was speaking, and Jesus said in the book of John chapter 17, amen, he said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. Now, so eternal life sustains the quality of one to know God. It's an investment that is in that life, the quality of knowing God. That's one of the qualities of eternal life. So when we talk about life, the life of God, the Zoe of God, with respect to his quality, then we are talking about eternal life. When we are talking about the life of God with respect to his permanency, how that it was not created and it cannot be destroyed, we're talking about everlasting life. You understand that? Now see, so apart from the function of the life of God that enables us to know God, now that function of the life of God that gives us the possibility of knowing God is called an unction. Are you with me? It's an unction. An unction is an inherent ability that is in a particular thing. It is that unction that is in the life of God that is the basis of our knowing God. Secondly, the life of God has the ability to strengthen. Human life doesn't have that ability. Because the Bible says that God will strengthen us with might. By what? His spirit, his life in our inner man. So in the midst of your weakness, in fact, the scope of the strength that is spoken about in that scripture is all inclusive. It is that life that quickens your spirit, makes your spirit alive on the account of your salvation. That life has the capacity to quicken your mind, and that life has the ability to quicken your mortal body. So it is a quickening life. That's another quality. Are you with me? It's what? It's a quickening life. For instance, you don't have the ability to pray naturally. Prayer is not something that you can fulfill naturally. And that's why the scripture says, quicken us and we shall call upon thy name. Now you must have the technology, the wisdom, the understanding of that life as to how to take advantage of his quickening ability if you are going to have a consistent prayer life. So another quality of that life is that it has the capacity to quicken. Another quality of this life is that it has the capacity to give direction and illumination. And that was what Jesus meant when Jesus said, I am the light of this world. He that cometh after me shall never walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. First of all, he revealed that he is the light of this world. Then he now went further to reveal to us that this light that is manifesting is traceable to the quality of life that he has. So if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, because you are guaranteed light that is in this life. You get that? So the scripture we just read in the book of Psalms says, indeed is the fountain of what? Life. Now the scope of description here is eternal life. Quality. With thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light. So this your life here, it has illumination. It can give direction. Are you with me? Okay, let me use simpler scriptures. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. In him was life. And this life was what? The light of men. That is a prescribed recipe that was intended by God to be the basis of direction among men. Because there is nothing in your human faculty that sustains the function of direction. And that's why the Bible says it's not given unto man to what? To direct his steps. You don't have any faculty. Your mind, your logic, your learning, your knowledge has no capacity, no stature to be the basis upon which your life is led. Now, wisdom as to direction of life must come from a plane that is superior to that which is natural. And they said the approved formula, the approved approach towards direction among men, illumination and understanding that brings us insight into the scope of our potential. That illumination will come from the life of God that is at work within us. So that is what is being referred to in this scripture. With thee is what? Is the fountain of life. And in thy light, the light of God that comes from the life of God. Now, see, that illumination that comes from the life of God is the basis upon which we can see. That's what the spirit of wisdom and revelation does. It means that outside of this life of God, you are blind. Outside of that scope of existence, you are limited to the natural frame of things. And you cannot do so much naturally. And even our ancestors knew that. And they partnered with spirits in order to advance their lives. They knew that the spirit realm had more capacity than the natural realm. And so they had to come into truces with spirit beings in order for them to have the advantage that comes from the realm of the spirit. But you see, even people that are members of the occult and all of that, it's not so many of them that know the spirits that they actually communicate with. Maybe the grandmaster knows the spirit. Alright? And that grandmaster manipulates all of them. Because he's the only one that knows the spirit intimately, he knows the seasons of the spirit, he knows the days of the spirit, he knows the language of the spirit, how to communicate with the spirit, he knows how to carry instructions out, he knows how to do the will of that spirit. Now, so that grandmaster, his perspective of life is based on the illumination that the spirit has granted him. Alright? And the Bible says that the life of God is a compendium of potential. One of the potentials we can draw from the life of God is that he has the capacity to give us illumination. He has the capacity to give us a different perspective and philosophy. He has the capacity to give us access to realities that is beyond space, blood, bone, and time. That is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit that is activated through the life of God. The only way you can know God is through his life. And so a pastor might not be born again, and he might be preaching. He doesn't know God, so how can he talk about God? We have a lot of pastors in Lagos that are prophets by designation, but they are not born again. Some of them say they were born again in their mother's womb, and all of that. But you see, he lacks the basic quality that gives him the guarantee of knowing God. And so he talks about God a lot, but he does not know God. Because the knowledge of God is not words. The knowledge of God is an intimacy that is born in the depth of the spirit. Knowledge of God is an intercourse, it's an interfacing between your spirit and the spirit of God. And your spirit coming to understand the dynamics of God through the movements of God. Your spirit coming into alignment and fusing into God and containing God. On the strength of that containment, God begins to overwhelm your spirit such that your spirit begins to take the shape and the dynamics of the realm of God. And then when that happens, the major problem is for your mind or for your soul to come into the understanding of the things that your spirit is enjoying. That's the major obstacle. And that's why we need to teach a lot. We need to teach and preach a lot in order for people to be shaped according to the orientation of the realities that is taking place in their spirit man. And so the Bible speaks about the light of God that comes to give us illumination. And that is what the spirit of wisdom and revelation is. Now, I want to break the two now. I want to talk about the spirit of wisdom separate from the spirit of revelation. I want to show you scenarios where the spirit of wisdom was present, the spirit of revelation was present, but the spirit of wisdom was not present. And you now discover why those twin spirits are always functioning together. Now let's move quickly. Let's move quickly. Because we have a long way to go. Now the life of God in you is a compendium. It's an investment of God himself in you. And these are the qualities that that life has. The life can strengthen you. It can quicken your mortal body. The life sustains the unction. For the Bible says we have received this unction from the Holy One and we know all things. So as part and parcel of that life is an unction that gives us understanding of things from spirit perspective. Alright? The Bible says that there are many things. I can show you many qualities of that life. Many qualities. About 12 of those qualities of that life. I can show you about 18 mysterious things about the life of Jesus which were traceable to the form of life that he carried. How he exhibited the Zoe of God and manifested it upon the face of the earth so that human beings looked upon him. He was carrying flesh, bone and blood, but they knew this is not a man. Because of the fact that he could live out that which he was carrying. And fortunately for us, by reason of design, by reason of intention, God has called us to be partakers of that realm of the divine. But you see, it happens to be that the average man likes to have confidence in that which he has seen and known. So every one of us wants to operate naturally because that is what we are used to, that's what we have confidence in. But God is calling us into the higher life so that we can function from his plane of existence. And in functioning from God's plane of existence, we cannot do without the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God that activates the eyes of our understanding and make us see into the spirit realm just like your natural eyes makes you see into the natural realm. Now, if you don't have access of sight into the spirit realm, you are not going to interface with that realm. And that's why the Bible says the proof that a man has given his life to Christ, according to the book of John chapter 3, he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's an activation of his spiritual senses, and through the life of God, he can see by the life of God. He can see through the Holy Ghost. Have you ever seen through the Holy Ghost before? When you see through the Holy Ghost, you can be seeing a place, you can be seeing Abia State from here. Because that the Holy Spirit is not given to time and space. So he zooms in on Abia State and you are standing here. Now, if you don't have that kind of sight, you cannot interface with the realm of the Spirit. The realm will be vague and mysterious to you. Meanwhile, it's not God's intention for the Spirit realm to be mysterious to us. And we must come at home with that realm. And the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of God, is pivotal. If you see a preacher that was a mighty preacher, and then the anointing wanes, it's because he has divorced from that spirit. Because there are many temptations that will come your way as a preacher. If money comes into your life, there's a possibility that you might shift your priorities. If you are not very deep in God and you get married, there's a possibility that you can shift your priorities. There are so many things that are position, fame, and all of that. You begin to travel the world, so many business ministry opportunities. You are in Congo today, you are in South Africa tomorrow, and you are on the billboard everywhere in different nations, and then you forget what is important. You are measured into time like a principality that has fallen from the realm of the stars. Hallelujah. Now, so you cannot do without the spirit of wisdom and revelation because that's the only access we have into the knowledge that is revealed by God. Are you still with me? Now, in order to buttress the facts that we have been raising, the points that we are raising, I would like us to go to the book of Job quickly. Then I'll show you these things in details so that we can run together. I'll show you in detail. Then, as we move into the life applicable aspect of our teaching, we can now understand the day-to-day things that you can do, how to understand the signs, the symbols, the signals, and the pictures. Because God is not man. God's communication is not with, is not basically with words. Not with words. I hope you have heard what Jesus said. Jesus says, "The spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing." He said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are not language. They are spirit." That's the language of principalities. That's how communication is done in the realm of the spirit. It's through spirit communication. And spirit communication is not in words. That's why 70% of the speaking of God and the communication of God with you is not in words. 70% of it is not in words. 70% of it is in signs, is in signals, in symbols, is in pictures. That's how spirits speak. They speak when they speak. Have you been to the book of Revelation before? And a seal is broken, suddenly a vision appears. That's how communication is in that realm. And God will begin to teach you spiritual language. Alright, so you are going to go beyond words in communication. Movements can be communication. Signals can be communication. Loss of peace can be communication. That's how spirits speak. They speak spirit language. Now, if you don't know spirit language, don't pastor people. You'll be wasting their time. Based on inventory, 60% of Pentecostal churches are wasting people's time. 60% of Pentecostal churches wasting people's time. 25% of the 40% that is left, they had a fire before that they had lost. And they are recycling the things that the fire brought 20 years ago. So much confusion in the body of Christ. And that's why we need to sit down and look at the things that really matter. Because carnal men rush and they don't get to see what matters. Job 33. Turn with me quickly. Hallelujah. Now as we move, based on the Holy Ghost signal, I don't know when he will signal, based on his signal, we'll do some simulations. If he gives a signal. So when an angelic being comes here, I will show you where the portal is. The presence of a supernatural being in the natural vicinity creates a portal. I will show you where the portal is, and I can take somebody to stand there, and the person will not be able to stand there. Now, it's not because I'm a big man of God, it's just this is the normal. Alright? This is how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be supernatural because we have the life of God. We are capable of manifesting things that are only attributed to God. That's the privilege that we have to be fashioned and structured in the image and in the likeness of God. In John chapter 33, this is Elihu speaking. And I'd like us to pick his words. He said, "Behold," verse 12 of Job chapter 33 says, "Behold, in this thou art not just." I don't have time to read so that you understand why he made that statement, but thank God that's not the statement I'm looking for. "I will answer thee that God is greater than man." Now, let's find out Elihu's reason for saying that God is greater than man. Verse 13 says, "Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of his matters." That is one of the reasons why Elihu says God is greater than man. Just in case God is doing something and you don't understand what God is doing and you are accusing him, you are not sensitive, you are not good, you are not kind, and you accuse God. The Bible says he giveth not account of his matters. He will not feel any responsibility to answer you when you perceive him in bad light. Have you ever been in conflict before and some people just decided to pick up stuff and begin to speak about you? I have many times. Some people say I use charm. They even know the herbalist that I consult. Said that because a cripple came and the Holy Spirit led me, he said I should take the water the bottled water that I was drinking. I should take it and sprinkle on the cripple's leg. And the lady will walk again. So I sprinkled it. And as I was sprinkling it, demons were coming out of her. And then she began to walk again. And when the story was told all around, they said, he's in league with darkness. Now, you see, but I didn't feel any pressure to respond. And, you know, people change their mind, and they are entitled to their opinion anyway. So, but with time, the opinion of men change. So one of the reasons why that Elihu says God is greater than man, he doesn't feel under any pressure to respond to us when we observe him in bad light. Secondly, he says 14, for God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. Now, the spirit of wisdom, what it does is that it gives us visual sight, visual. It gives us access. It makes us touch the realm of reality. Now, this is the realm of vanity, this realm here, realm of vanity. Everything that you touch here and everything that you can perceive with your physical senses doesn't have the ability to last forever. Now, this realm came out of a more permanent realm. All right? Are you with me? Now, what the spirit of revelation does is that it gives you access to that realm. Are you here? Gives you access to the realm. But see, you now discover that when you have access to the realm, because the realm is not configured according to logic, your access to the realm does not give you the opportunity to interface with the realm. Now, so what God says, the Bible says, God opens people's minds in visions and dreams, and they see things in the spirit realm, but he locks up the instruction. He locks up the wisdom. So, have you ever had a dream that you didn't know the interpretation? Was that dream useful to you in that state? Not useful. Just dreamt, no interpretation. He has locked up the spirit of wisdom. Now, revelation takes you into the realm. Wisdom now explains what you are seeing in that realm. And that's why whenever people, John, in the book of Revelation, when he got into the spirit realm, there was a tall guy, the wisdom tall guy that was attached to him. So that when he sees some things, it's not structured according to logic, according to what he has seen and known in the natural realm. This is another existence entirely. Say, what is this? And then the tall guy will say, this is this and that and that. That's wisdom. The things he's seeing is revelation. But the revelation doesn't have any meaning whatsoever except the spirit of wisdom comes to open it up. Because it is not framed and shaped within the scope of our natural capacity to understand. You get that? Now, so one of the reasons again why Elihu said God was greater than man is that he can give you an insight and he can keep the revelation, keep the interpretation from you. And so you wake up with all your physics, with all your engineering. And then you see a mode of communication that is superior to everything you have learned. And that is actually an indication of the fact that the one that is speaking to you is bigger than your mind and your learning and your education. And it's only through your heart, because your heart is larger than your mind. Alright. Let me show you in scripture that your heart is larger than your mind. That's why your God relates with your heart. Are you still with me? Okay, the Bible says, eyes have not seen. Have you seen that scripture? Say, ears have not heard. Then neither has it entered into the heart of man. There's a sequence of things there. Now, the list is according to depth. Your ears has more depth than your eyes, and your heart has more depth than your ears. So it's written according to depth. Alright? Now, so you have binocular vision. You can only see 180 degrees to your left and right forward. You have secular hearing. You may not be seeing somebody at your back, but you can hear the person. So your ears are deeper in communication gathering than your eyes. Alright? And your heart is far, far deeper than the scope that your ears and eyes can go. And that's why God relates with us from the standpoint of our hearts, because our heart is the deepest faculty we have, the deepest organ of interaction that we have. And it's upon our hearts that our spiritual senses are located. And we are going to go into that. So you understand what the spirit of wisdom and revelation is. Access into the realm. Now, you can come into a service. I've been there before. A lady was leading praise and worship. And she was singing very good. And suddenly, I lost my peace. Just hearing her sing, I lost my peace. Now, what was happening was a spiritual thing. All right? The thing she was ministering was what was I was speaking. And my spirit was not happy with what she was ministering. Meanwhile, in the natural, her voice was splendid. Her voice was wonderful. I lost my peace. So, now, that was a revelation. Are you with me? But I didn't know what it meant, because the spirit of wisdom had not yet gone into action. Every time the spirit of revelation comes to give you an insight, and the spirit of wisdom is not following suit instantly to give you understanding of that which you are seeing, it means God is calling you into the place of prayer. That's the meaning. Now, the truth is this. Are you still with me? Mommy, have you ever had a dream that you did not know the meaning? It happens many times. And sometimes you just say, well, it's meaningless, you just skip it. And you move on. What kind of stuff is this? Well, if we go deeper and we begin to teach on rules of the prophetic and what it means to be a spiritually intelligent personality. One of the rules, I don't want to dabble into that anyway. One of the rules is this. Every time you discover that the spirit of revelation takes you into the spirit realm and you can touch a thing, all right, and you don't know what you are touching, you need to go into prayer. It's a call to prayer. Now, so I came into that service. The lady was singing, but my spirit was offended in what she was singing. That's a revelation. But I didn't know why my spirit was offended. And for that, I will have to what? Seek the face of God. See, it means the spirit of revelation came without the accompaniment of the spirit of wisdom. So even though I'm touching the thing, it's obvious I'm touching it. But my touch is not useful because I don't know what I'm touching. And that's why those two spirits go together. Spirit of revelation gives you insight into the spirit realm, makes you touch the spirit realm. And then the spirit of wisdom now tells you what you are touching and how you can interface with what you are touching. Now, let us see an example of the operation of the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom. In the same scripture where we read in the book of Revelation chapter 1 yesterday. Revelation chapter 1. That's the first law of spiritual intelligence. When the spirit of revelation has blessed you, without the presence of the spirit of wisdom, it is a call to prayer. It means God wants you to tarry with him. Now, if you are diligent in small matters, bigger matters will be handed to you. That's the way of the prophetic. You grow in the prophetic because you were diligent in handling small matters. There are some times that God calls you to pray. All right? And you are having a burden. You know what a burden is now? It means that your spirit, you have interfaced, you have entered into the spirit realm, and you are touching something that is bothering God. And your understanding is unfruitful. It means that the spirit of revelation is at work, and the spirit of wisdom is not at work. And then you begin to pray the burden. And you pray the burden until the burden is lifted, and you never knew what you prayed about. Has it happened to you before? You never knew what you were touching, you never knew what you prayed about. And you prayed and the burden was lifted. Now, maybe many years later, if God wants to educate you, he will now show you what you prayed about. So the spirit of revelation can come 2 months later on the same matter. The reason why the spirit of revelation will now eventually come is so that when you are discipling other people, you'll be able to tell them, You don't know the dimension of the realm that you walked in until the spirit of wisdom begins to instruct you. So when you see a man whose anointing is waning, you see a man that doesn't know how to access the next realm of his calling, he's not in league with the spirit of wisdom. And for the spirit of wisdom to be released, Paul showed us the example. He prayed to the Father that he might release what? So the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God responds to prayer. So people that are not given to asking God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, whenever they study the Bible, is dead and dry. But when I'm studying it, sometimes it can be so loud that I run away from the room. So loud, so strong like that. I'm seeing the scriptures, I'm seeing visions. Sometimes God takes me to where the event was taking place many years ago, and then I see the dimensions, then he will begin to, oh my God, it's terrible. It's terrible. Just on this book, and it's something else. The dimensions begin to open because of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's what happens when you have been asking him for that spirit for a long time. He brings the 3D effect of spiritual truth. It's as much a part of you as your own beating heart. Those realities cannot be separated from you. That's the only thing you own. The realities you have touched and interfaced with is yours. Nobody can take it away. They can take away the coat of many colors. They can take your house away. Just like they took my car in Lagos. They can take that away. The Lord showed me that your car is going. I told my wife, say, okay, we are going to be carless very soon. That is your own kind of prophecy. People prophesy good things. And you see, it's because we are thick that we are prophesying positive every time. If you are in league with God, he will tell you many things. And in the backsliding Nigeria of today, many more of them will be negative than positive. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 1, now let's see a graphic illustration of the operation of the spirit of wisdom and revelation that brings the knowledge of God. In verse 12, the Bible says, "And I turned to see the voice which spake with me, and being turned, I saw." Now, so this is the spirit of revelation. Everything you read from verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, verse 16, verse 17, all of it is the operation of the spirit of revelation. And I saw. Hallelujah. And I saw. That's how principalities communicate. They give you visions in spiritual sight, cause you to see through the Holy Spirit. You see into the spirit realm. You see activities, meetings, council meetings. You see angelic beings. You see keepers of portals. You see keepers of gates, keepers of knowledge, keepers of the issues concerning nations. There are various chambers in the realm. And then you just see. And because the realities you are seeing is not configured according to your mind, you will need of wisdom now. Verse 20. This is Jesus speaking. Okay, let's go to verse 20, so that we'll not waste time. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven angelos of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So the seven stars are the seven angels. You know, the word angel there, it would have been better for us to use the original word angelos, because angelos has a wide spectrum of meanings. An angel in our own perspective is limited to just a spiritual being. Okay? Are you with me? Now, so in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 20, we are seeing the operation of the spirit of revelation. The spirit of wisdom, he is explaining the symbols that he saw. Say, the stars you saw in my hand are the seven angels or seven messengers to the churches. He said the seven golden candlesticks that you saw are the seven churches. That's the spirit of wisdom at work. interpreting things in their shape in the spirit realm. The realm of the natural is depicted by blood, flesh, bone, time, space. That's natural. The realm of the supernatural is a realm of spirit, of life, of thrones, of dominions, and of realities. These are two very divergent realms. And just in case you are accustomed to one realm and you come into another realm, you will need to be instructed around, because the shape of this other realm is different from the shape of the realm you are used to. Are you still with me? Now, because the spirit realm is superior to the natural realm, when beings come from the spirit realm into the natural realm, they don't need education. Natural realm is a very simpler, linear realm. So when they come into the natural realm, they don't need a guide to tell them about our realm. It's too elementary. But when you move from this realm into their realm, you need the spirit of wisdom to give you insight, because you might see a star. That star is not the kind of star you saw in the evening. The meaning is a messenger. Alright, so in the spirit realm, we need the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom. This is what makes us capable of functioning effectively in the realm that we have been called into by reason of our design. Now, if you have a question from that point, you can ask, so that before we move deeper, because if we move deeper now, it will be difficult for us to remember where we are coming from. You see, anybody has any question about the operation of the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom? No question. All right, so we will advance now. Amen. I said yesterday that I was watching Benny Hinn's film, and while I was watching Benny Hinn, he was ministering, and I said, oh God, why is it that it's only Benny Hinn that can operate like this? Where do you still remember us at all? And then Benny Hinn began to answer me from the tape. Said, this is not just for me, it's for everybody. All of you can operate like this. I said, okay. Then he said, do you want the power? I said, yes, I want the power. He prayed for me. The power of God came upon my chest. And every time I pray and it's intense, I feel that upon my chest. And because the spirit of revelation, that's the spirit of revelation. That thing I was touching, that thing that was furnished upon me, that thing that was furnished upon my heart that I was experiencing, was a spiritual thing that I was interfacing with from the realm of my spirit. But because the spirit of wisdom was not available, I carried that weight on my spirit for 5 years. Then the spirit of wisdom came and said, that's the healing anointing. Now, many people come to me after our meetings. They say, I've started having this experience. Pastor, tell me what it means. And they think that I know. And I begin to feel as if they are pouring oil on my head. Only God can interpret. It's not a human being that will do that. That's not my business. That's not my ministry. That's beyond my scope. How wise do you think I am? So I send them back to God and recommend 3 days of fasting. A spiritual student, and one of the bases of spiritual intelligence is that when you are interfacing with something by the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom is not forthcoming, it is what? It's a call to prayer. Don't forget it. It's a call to prayer. Because if you don't know that anointing, if you don't know that movement of God, you'll not be able to take advantage of that which God has already made available to you. So I wasted 5 years under the heat of the healing anointing, and there were sick people around me that I could not help. Not because God came to bring another anointing, the same anointing, but the spirit of wisdom came 5 years later to tell me that that is the healing anointing. 5 years later. What a waste. And that's what happened. Many things, many mighty things happened around the corridors of many lives. But because of the fact that they don't know that they need to invoke the spirit of wisdom, sometimes they allow these things lie low until they die off. But God will help us so that which is about to die will be quickened. in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you must understand something according to the book of John chapter 3. Okay, maybe we need to go there. Now, I'm spending time because I need to be picking them from scripture for you to know. This is the first time we are meeting together. Subsequently, when we meet, I won't have to be taking the pains to be opening every scripture to show you. I'll be speaking like a son in the kingdom of my Father, trying to bring you some graphic access into some deep-seated reality. But for now, we need to do the route. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, Jesus made a statement. And that statement is quite revealing. Hallelujah. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the spirit of revelation. Okay? Verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. See the kingdom. Enter into the kingdom. So God's intention, God's will, is not just so that we will see things. You see the way kingdom, perceive the kingdom, perceive what God is doing, perceive his will. No. He expects you not just to see the kingdom. He expects you through the spirit of wisdom to understand the things you are seeing so that you can be a partaker. You can enter into that kingdom and begin to participate in that kingdom. In order for that kingdom to be manifest here, for instance, Jesus said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, it's an indication that the kingdom of God is among men. And there must be somebody that will have the capacity to enter into the realm in which that kingdom is situated, in its original heavenly status. Interface, interact, understand that realm in order for him to manifest it down here. That's why you were given spiritual senses. Your spiritual senses will make you see. Through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you will now understand and then know how to interface. Now, as you begin to interface with that realm, the supernatural will be your normal lifestyle. Now, we go for campaigns, for mighty campaigns, for miracles. My God, we don't need to print a bill for miracles, because it should be happening. There's going to be healing night. Even in Makodi there, when we do small prayers, about 12 people praying, all right? Things happen. 12 people, 3 people, 5 people. Things take place. God's hand moves, and not because whether or not I'm there, because everybody has been taught, and they can move into the realm in a measure. And for that aspect that they have accessed, there are tangible manifestations to show. Now, so God's will is for us to enter and interface with that reality, because it is given unto us so to do. By reason of design, we're created in the image and in the likeness of God. So it is God's will for us to enter. I don't have liberty to begin to share some things yet. I've seen things in my 27 years of being a Christian. I've seen things at the foot of God. Yeah. I've been to heaven many times. I've seen Jesus. Jesus has come to my room many times. There was a time that for 3 months he sent an angel to teach me the Bible. The angel came in the night, every night, every night, every night, every night, every night, every night. He came for 3 months to open my scope of spiritual things. And I'll ask questions. The dimension of access was terrible. And there was light in the room. Light. There was sometimes like that. Now the angel comes, and then a light just forms on the wall. A light just forms on the wall. It should be there for 30 minutes. It's a light that cannot cast a shadow. Do like this. Just a light. It's just there. Now, so I know what happens when we... And it's not something for a big man of God. And in my whole lifetime, I will never be a big man of God. You can be sure of that. I've settled it with God. I can come to Abuja, take a Okada. I will do that as no matter what level I go. Sometimes we lose touch with simple life, the purity of simple life. So I park all the cars and then I take bus just to interface with Jesus. It's bondage to want to be a big man, actually. Bondage, so much bondage. Now, so we are called to enter. That's his design. That's his dream for us. Enter into that kingdom. Interface with it. Understand it. So the spirit of wisdom doesn't just come to explain visions. It comes to give us an understanding so that we can interface with the realm of God. Now, this is what John says in the book of 1 John. I want us to see the four levels of interfacing. 1 John. Four levels of interfacing with the realities of the spirit realm. Four levels. Are you in 1 John chapter 1? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, that's the first level. Which we have seen with our eyes, that's the second level. This is the operation of the spirit of revelation. Which we have looked upon, that's the result of the spirit of wisdom, giving us understanding so that we can look upon it accurately. And our hands have handled. That is touching and interfacing with the reality. Many of us stop with "we have heard." That's the one the preacher gave us. I want to build our Christian life on what the preacher said. On things that we heard. And that's why we're always like duplicates. A man's spiritual life is established upon what his bishop said. Say, pastor said this, pastor said, there's so much of that. Anywhere you find that, it's a garden of babes. Pastor say, pastors, pastor, as good as that is. But by the time you begin to interface, all right, you begin to say your own. But as long as you don't have those experiences, what pastor said is relevant. You'll be quoting it. In order for you to preach, use that as a reference. Pastor said this one. Pastor said that one. Pastor said this. It means you are preaching from the level of that which you have heard. It has not become part and parcel of you. Then he said, we have seen it with our eyes. It means you have gone beyond what you heard. I hope you know the woman at the well that Jesus met. She went and told the village, come and see the man that told me everything that I ever did. So they heard. By the time they interfaced with Jesus and encountered Jesus, they then told the woman that we have believed not because of what you said, but because of what we have experienced. So experience is deeper than what you hear. Now the reason why there's no depth in church, because we stop with what we hear. But the Bible says that that which they heard, then they entered into the spirit realm, they saw it with their eyes. The spirit of revelation revealed it in its true shape and structure. Then they were able to look upon it through the agency of the spirit of wisdom. When the spirit of wisdom gave them insight, they were able to cross-examine what they were seeing, the realities they were seeing, to a point where they could not handle those realities. Have you heard about people that an anointing came upon them, they could not handle it? Something supernatural descended upon their lives. They could not. Why? Because
They were supposed to go through those four levels. You hear of it? Somebody testifies. Like, one of the things that motivated me in search of spirit reality was a preacher that came and said, God woke me up and spoke to me. I said, Jesus, God spoke. Hey. Then that night, I went back home and I refused to eat and to sleep. I said, God, if you are still out there and you still speak, I'm here. And I kept praying that night, if you are here. And somewhere around 3:45 a.m., he spoke to me. So now, I was no longer, I didn't just believe because the man said what? God spoke to him. I believe now because me too, God has spoken to me. So I may not need to quote the man anymore. So if you are still quoting bishop and all of that, that's good. But what the bishop is saying is not yours. It worked for bishop, and I assure you it can't work for you until you have had an experience. So when I heard God, I went beyond what I heard to what I've seen with my eyes. Alright? Then, when God spoke to me, that was not the end. He began to explain the things he spoke subsequently. That was the spirit of wisdom that was at work. God can tell you, say, preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you don't know that meaning. You don't know the meaning of that. But you think you do, because you access it with your mind. Then it takes you 5 years further. And then you now see many things and experience many things. Then now reminds you, you remember that I said you preach the whole truth? This is what I mean. Yeah. So you can look upon the things that God has said, because the spirit of wisdom has elaborated it. And the reason for the elaboration is not so that you just know, but it's to equip and empower you to be able to interface with those realities and handle them. Now, many times those days, God used to tell me that when I'm teaching, then the supernatural will begin to take place. And it was a far cry. Say, hey, so the time will come like that. Don't be teaching like that. And his presence will feel everywhere. Wow, that's good. Then he took me in many dreams by the spirit of wisdom and began to reveal to me how I can activate the spirit realm while I'm preaching. It was a long lecture. First of all, he told me about my design in heaven. That was when I discovered that spiritually we belong to different spiritual clans. We belong to different spiritual tribes. And the way this tribe functions is different from the way this tribe functions. And that's why we have different preachers, because you will not believe just any preacher. The preacher that will preach to you that the thing will enter you belongs to your tribe, is coming, you are related. So God began to teach me about the spiritual tribe. And then he showed me how that I belonged to a tribe that was like the tribe that Elisha was part of. And in order for that tribe to activate the spirit realm and invoke the spirit realm, they needed music. So that's why when I preach, if I want to access the realm, very easy. I will say, oh yeah, help me. And I can move and begin to see and talk from that realm. If I don't want the realm to come so that I can just be a teacher, I won't play that thing. If I play that thing, I will not be able to explain scripture again. I move into... So God began to teach me the place of sound. Then I now began to discover that... Are you still with me? It's still the spirit of wisdom that is teaching me now. God now took me through some scriptures and showed me the book of Psalms 38. Can we go to that scripture? Still teaching me about sound and the angelic realm. No, in Job chapter 38, sorry. Job 38. Job chapter 38. Now, this was when God decided to respond to Job's ignorance. Job was threatening that if he had the stature, he would have taken God to court. But now nobody can accuse God because he's not present to answer. So God now decided that, all right, since you claim you know too much, I'm going to set up a panel. Let's go to court. But before you come into the dock, I need to cross-examine you. Now, so the cross-examination that took place is in Joshua chapter 38. God wanted to find out if Job had enough stature to take him to court. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" You know, it's possible for a preacher to darken counsel. The little insight in God that you have contacted in your closet, you come to church, and when you submit to his philosophy, that counsel you gathered will be darkened. So you say Job is darkening counsel because his words do not utter things that have been received by revelation. Now, he said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and thou and answer me thou." First question: where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Suddenly, Job now became impotent. And God was saying that some of the issues you are passing through now, they were programmed into existence from the time of the foundation of the earth. Can you see how vast, if some things you are passing through now were programmed before, during the time when the earth was being founded? Say, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Speak thou if thou hast understanding. And then God began to give some insight that he won't have given normally. He said, "Who laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who stretched up the line upon it, the diameter?" That's circle geometry. "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fasting?" Civil engineering. "And who laid the cornerstone?" Civil engineering. Structures. Calculation of structures and engineering. Verse 7 was my education. He said, "When the morning stars stand together." Do you see the context of the scripture? It's talking about creation. Hey, can you see that? The context is what? Still creation. Abi? Then he said, "When the morning stars sang together and the sons of joy shouted for joy." Now, is that not a displacement? We're talking about the circle geometry, the foundation stone, the structures, the pillars, all engineering stuff. And then suddenly he said, "When the angels sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy." It looks as if he's not following the sequence. But what God was trying to tell Job was that while God was creating, angels were singing into the material. Music was part of the fabric that was used in creation. I know you don't believe me. This was a lecture. And that's why if you stamp your feet, there'll be sound. You clap your hand, there'll be sound. Touch everything, sound will come out of it. Because sound was sung into it. Everything you touch, gong, why is it that the sound is coming? Did you create the sound inside? You just created the gong, and if you hit it, there's a peculiar sound, a guitar. Because in creation, the angels sang into creation as part of the fabric that was used in creation. You get that? So the music minister now is excited. Now, let me go further and tell you how spiritual music can be. Do you know that some of those principalities that sang have fallen now? That's why the Michael Jackson still ruled the world with music. Because it was the vibration, the frequency of those fallen angels that they used, that they still dominated the earth. Oh, you didn't get that. Okay, let me shut down. No need for me to tell you my own personal experience. It was the spirit of wisdom that was teaching me about me. That for your type to bring the supernatural down, you are like Elisha. You will need what? Sound. Are you following? Now, you see, there are frequencies in the heavens. And that's why, you know, some of these music tapes we hear around, It's not striking any chord. It's not from heaven. Because the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, there was what? A sound. There are frequencies in the heavens. And those frequencies are produced by the angelic. If you can tap into one, the whole earth will know that there's a vibration that is not of earth that a man has downloaded. Just one frequency. You tap into one frequency. Now, like Christel Van was not known as a major music minister for a long time. And then when he did that, he tapped into something. It was heavy. Now, let me stop. He was just teaching me about me. That's the spirit of wisdom now. The power of sound. And in order to bring me into the full understanding so that I will have faith in it anytime I'm using it to access, he had to give me insight about it. The spirit of wisdom. You tap into the frequency, you can draw down the realities that are connected to that frequency. A time came, if I begin to preach, I begin to hear a sound from heaven. So I will go to the keyboard man and put him under pressure that he must produce that sound. And as he begins to produce the sound, anything can happen. Not because there's a big man. See, this thing we're talking about is not about a man. It's about a realm, for God's sake. It's about a God that has given us a privilege to walk in a realm. Then I began to play high, and God began to teach me about each instrument. What the string instrument? Because in scripture, you will notice that angel called Lucifer. That angel was a special kind of angel. The Bible called him the anointed cherub. That means through that anointing, he could actually probe into some of the revelations of God. Some of the revelations of God. Are you with me? The way it was constructed was that musical instruments were forged into his framework. So he doesn't need to play them. Just like you use your lungs now. You know how to use. You can change the rhythm. And there are some involuntary actions. Your heartbeat, you can't touch that. But it's built into you. Alright? That's how these musical instruments were built into the guy. Some voluntary and some involuntary. And so when he shows up, he can discern the mood of God through the anointing. And he produces the sound suitable for that mood. That was the kind of personality he was. He could just come now and what he would produce. And there were some times he used to perform in heaven so much that he walked up and down on the coals of fire in Zion. And the coals purified him. That was where he got the nickname Lucifer, the light bearer. It was on the coals that he walked upon. Notice that when he fell, he still maintained the oscillatory motion of walking to and fro and up and down. When a minister of God falls, he will still look somehow. You don't understand. There is a shape. Oh my God. Oh my God. God doesn't take away the shape, the function you had in Zion. Are you with me? So he began to show me how heaven is structured by sound. So I now began to understand better. So I now had faith in that which God was drawing my attention to. All of this was the operation of the spirit of wisdom. All of this. Trying to make me understand an anointing of penetration that God had put on my life. That anointing of penetration will never operate until I produce sound. That is in the frequency of that in the heavens. It was because of that instrument that God gave me that he opened up the prophetic to me. Not really because of people's phone number and because of word of knowledge. He opened up that prophetic so that I can link up with that sound in heaven. And once I link up with that sound and those angels come down, my eyes open permanently. It just open. But there are some things I've decided personally that I'll never do. Call somebody's phone number. Even if I have the ability. I will never do that. All right? There are reasons which I cannot say now, but we will say it later. There are some things you will discover that because of an anointing, some things are possible. But you see, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You decide how you play the, you know how to play the organ, and you can play anything, but you can decide what you play. There are possibilities available to you with the keys, but you decide which one you press. When you come into some realms, many things are possible, but you can decide which doors you can enter for integrity's sake, so that the name of God will not be blasphemed. And some things, you, well, God will help us. But it's not as if these things are not available. It's not as if these things are not practicable. It's not as if these things are not possible. They are possible at some point. All right? But there are some reasons when you look at the effect it will have. Now say, this one, I won't. Let me remember like this. This side. It will be easier for my generation to understand, even though there's that side. And just in case I see somebody that operates from that side, he's not from my tribe, maybe. So I can't judge him. Because I know there are various spiritual orders. I've seen all kinds of angels. I've seen. See, my mouth is sealed. He has not permitted me. There are some things we can talk that can bring rain. You don't know. We can. You know, those days I was not my church. I would see something, I would come and be talking. And many things happen. There are some kind of talk we can start here now. It will bring rain. Then I now discover how them Elijah brought rain. There are some kind of things you will say here now. This sun that is bringing so much light, cloud will cover it. Yes. I now discovered how them Joshua were able to command the sun. Is available. Yeah, they were not messy men. Those realms are actually accessible. And the spirit of wisdom took me through this lecture just for me to understand my tribe and how that we are given the gift of penetration, and that gift will be activated when we invoke the right frequency of sound from the heavens. By doing that, you are summoning an angel. In witchcraft and in sorcery, in order to summon a demon, you do incantation. An incantation is an utterance that gives a command to a demon spirit. But in this kingdom, all right, we bring the presence of angels by invoking their dimensions in the realm of music, their frequencies. There are some kind of praise and worship. It's not every praise and worship that is in human language. Sometimes all that comes to you is the sound, not the utterance. It's a spiritual song. It came in a spiritual form. You can maintain that sound and speak in tongues on that sound. It's about that sound. That is about that sound that day. Because the Bible speaks about some kind of prayer, mutterings, groanings. He said they cannot be uttered. Now, these are the things that should mark our normal procession of life. God, through the spirit of wisdom, will teach you about you. You know, most of us, we go to Bible school and we come out, we want to be like the people that taught us. That's good for a while, to serve for a while, at least for 5 years. You can bask in that. God will allow it. Then the time comes when the spirit of wisdom begins to show you your real size. And then you can no longer operate the way you operated before. Some form of uniqueness begins to come into you. Even though you were discipled and you captured some anointing from that house, when your uniqueness begins to come out, they can't trace you there anymore. Because something larger than what you contacted, those initial deposits have come again. It is on the strength of that that we know what weapons that we are carrying. You see, different tribes have different weapons. That in spiritual warfare, we are not the same. No. We are not the same. Some of us have spears, some others have swords. Some of us have javelin. It is the spirit of wisdom that will give you insight into your kind, your type, your tribe, your shape, your structure. And then you begin to function in it. Begin to function. You can be trained in one ministry, and then after a while, he takes you out and says, no, join yourself to that man. And you begin to wonder, but I grew up here. He's just showing you your tribe. Alignment is the way of the spirit. Alignment. It will gather you to your tribe. And then some anointings you could not operate at home, operate in the place where you grew up. Those anointings will be activated because there are certain environments that can release those anointings. In some of those places where you grew up, the anointing, if you operate there, the church will want to scatter. Because the wineskin was not designed to accommodate that kind of anointing. It means you are not with your tribe. The messages are not ministering to the you that have been recreated in Christ Jesus. It's not a problem. But a time will come when God will gather you to your tribe. So that the atmosphere that can activate the things that He has put upon your life will begin to come. And when that atmosphere comes, a new order of priesthood is formulated in the land that have discovered how to minister to the territory. Well, I just opened up my own secret. I've been to meetings before. I just came with a song. I could not preach, just a song. And people were healing started. We sang that song. Miracles were taking place. We sang the song. You will know that angels became at home with the corridor. And it was so intense that we left the meeting, ended the program, and then somebody that was cleaning the church, all right, now touched the seat that I sat on. And the anointing now came on the person. And the person began to prophesy. He began to prophesy. So we now forgot something. So we had to drive back. And we met another service. You know what happened to that person? That person, we are in the same tribe. So he touched the substance of that tribe and something just switched on. And it started. Another service started. Another thing started. So we came, picked our own thing and left them. And we went to rest because we were exhausted. It's very easy for you to contact a spiritual thing. Very easy. But see, but there's a process that God will take you so that that thing can rest forever. And let me tell you the truth. If you are called to be a prophet now, in eternity you will still be a prophet. Your calling is eternal. It's by the way. You can't change your eternal structure. That's how you were carved like that eternally. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop here. We don't have a clock yet. Because there's no clock, I have to stop. In the evening, I will tell you how the devil fights penetration. You picked it up in your prayer. He fights penetration through veils. Now, we tell you different kinds of veils and what they do and how the devil positions them. Territorial veils, denominational veils. There are some, if you remain in the denomination, particular denomination, you may not go beyond a particular veil. National veils, continental veils, family veils, all kinds of, and personal veils. And you can actually go beyond those veils. And then manifest something that people in your family will look at you and say, no, he's not one of us. Because this kind of thing, there has never been a record. Like John the Baptist. They say nobody in our tribe. nobody among us. Our ancestors, we have their chronicles. This type has never come from our line. You can go beyond the veils and become a harbinger. Something that has never happened through your bloodline, you'll be the one to pioneer it. And then because of you, many people from your family will now start coming into that thing. So you become the father of the descendants that fulfill the true destiny that was hiding in that family. Irrespective of your age, it's based on penetration and the operation of the spirit of revelation and wisdom. Every family has a purpose of God trapped into it. It will take an apostle to lock it, to unlock it. Every family. The Bible said that the sons of Issachar, there were men that understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. It was a family thing. It's widespread in the family. It was a normal thing in the family. If you have followed the prophetic very well, you will notice that you can inherit it. Yes. These things are family things. There is a particular family that the shrine likes. Because by calling their prophets, you know those people that work in the shrine? Originally, they are called to be prophets. Originally. Before the shrine now takes them and uses their structure to become a medium. It's family based. Yes. It's not everybody that can operate in the shrine. The shrine will not call everybody and say, no, I adopt this person. No. Are people that have that investment. And then they pervert it and they begin to use it to govern the territory. The Bible said by one prophet, he brought an entire nation out of captivity. One prophet. To show you the capacity that is in the spirit of one prophet. And that prophet must have to rise enough that for your family to come into her true prophetic destiny. I'm in age, I'm nothing to be compared to people in my family. But you see, I pioneered the true calling of the family. Yes. So, I can sit with the ancestors and educate them and say, you people, you sold us to the devil. And their charms don't work on me. In fact, it's a taboo for them to come close to me now. You can pioneer it. It can come out of your spirit. We're going to pray. I see many families, like people coming for deliverance, coming for miracle prayers, that if you probe into their family, you see that the thing they're coming to ask for is what they were designed to give other people. You see, the Lord is even saying that there are two among us here that were intended to pioneer dimensions through our families. But we have not seen what we are doing related to pioneering the true intention of God in that family. There are several challenges that we have gone through on the account of our pursuit of God. But these challenges actually are because we were the ones designed to pioneer those dimensions of God. And God is saying, don't look back. Because in the fullness of time, things will begin to gather together. And meaning will come out of your struggle. Meaning will come out of the pressure that has been brought upon your life. Meaning will come upon you. And I want us to pray briefly. I say, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, release upon us today the spirit of wisdom. We need to understand many things. The patterns, the trends, the cycles, the seasons. Things that have been happening, some things that God has been doing to suggest to you that there's something sitting on your inside. Many times the volcano will want to erupt, but you see, you are carved according to your study, according to your friends, according to your city, and you are there. But today, by the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom, you will break out of the cocoon and embrace that which God is calling you into. Let the hand of God descend upon your life. Let the hand of God descend upon you afresh and release you into that which God has called you to do. There's a dimension of your ministry that you have not touched. You have been trying to behave like people that you lent under. You have been trying to preach like people that you lent ministry under. And there's a vacuum that is created. And even in this current time, you are beginning to experience challenges because there is a hunger inside of you to release something beyond that which you have been taught, beyond that which you have learned, and you don't know how to gather it together. God is saying, the voice of your tribe calleth you. The voice of your tribe calleth you. The voice of your tribe calleth you. Give all seka mama mama tabeso. Give all santes kovale samata. Give all a simple presta basanta babola. He said, weep not, for this season shall not linger. This season shall not linger. I will open unto you a new door, and you will set your foot into that which I've ordained. Weep not, weep not, weep not. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we call forth your glory. We call forth your spirit. We call forth your presence. And Lord, you will activate things. You will activate things in our lives. You will activate things. You will activate things. Mirokondes amena kamrasa. Mirokondes bregetelebe kuribasaya. Mirokondes mantebrakabasata babori bakatebrenda. Shemina braskes kumbarata branta babalata begaske. The answers of our God. He said, I will give unto you a tongue, a mouth, and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or gainsay. I will give unto you a mouth and a wisdom. A mouth and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist. That none of your adversaries will be able to gainsay. Monde seke makabana hala. We give you glory. We give you praise. And El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elohim and Adonai. It's too late, you're still the same. By the power of your name, it's Shaddai, it's Shaddai, Elohim and Adonai. I will praise and lift you high. El Shaddai. Somebody sing El Shaddai. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. El Yom and Adonai. Each way you're still the same. By the power of your name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elohim and Adonai, I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. One more time, sing El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elohim. And Adonai, age to age, you're still the same. By the power of your name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elohim, and Adonai, I will praise and lift. El Shaddai. Open up your mouth one more time and begin to ask for the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. Open your mouth. This is a big thing. I'm telling you, it is something that we need to contact in our life. Is something that we need to be acquainted with. This thing needs to reside in the inside of us.
With the spirit of revelation, with the spirit of wisdom. I believe strongly right now that when you have the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, your life will not be a struggle. When you have the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, things work out easily for you because you no longer struggle. You now have direction. With this, you can have direction. With this, you can know what to do, when to do what to do, how to do what to do. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Magadera Bado Fataya, Yemutali Mananderia, Rabana Sotaya, Yekutali Manande, Imbrazokete, Imbandoroti Kadamba Gide, Yemutamba Lieso, Gambroduce Manada, Shekatori Katoye, Yipa Baletoria,
Ekapaya Bakato Boshi Kapali Pregadabo Shata, Rekadabo Koshi Kapali Pregadabo.
If we can access the realm of the spirit properly, our life will just be easy. These things he was saying, he said some of these things are not the things of big men of God. They are normal realities where we are supposed to walk in. If we are supposed to walk in it, what is holding us back? Let us ask the Lord to grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ Himself. Come on, open your mouth and ask Him for that. Come on, open your mouth. The reason why we are the way we are is because we lack the spirit of wisdom and revelation. But now it can be activated. It can be activated inside of you now. It can be activated inside of you. You don't need 10 people to rescue your family. You don't need 5 people. It is only you that is needed. You don't need 20 people to rescue your state. You don't need 50 people to turn around your city. You need only you. And if the spirit of wisdom and revelation can rest upon you now, if the spirit of wisdom and revelation can be at that can be activated in the inside of you, things will be made easy for you. Open your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In 1 minute, I want us to stretch our hands in the direction of the servant of God that he used to bring those words. Let us begin to speak into his life. There shall never be drought of the word of God in his life. As he has sown, he will reap of it. As he has blessed us, let the Lord refill him again. In the name of Jesus, let it not just be a normal refilling. Let the refilling this time take him to the next dimension of his life. In the name of Jesus. Robodobo Jagadabaya. Robodobo Zekatamaya. Robodobo Zamalatora. Regalaba Jantolie. Rabana Sotari Mayande. Kumara Laba Shegede. Marutali Mayantorie. Rupumali Mayantora Malasa. Tendorianda Lemrangade. Jagala Bragadosa. Imantorianda La Bragadea. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, Abba Father. We praise you, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory. Come on, wave your hands to Jesus and give him praise. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give him glory. Father, Lord, I thank you. Some chords have been struck this morning. Oh my God. Oh my, for a while now, I think I just have one prayer point. Lord, fill me up with the wisdom, with your spirit of wisdom and revelation. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We give you all of the glory. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Clap those hands for Jesus. He's worthy. Come on, come on, come on. Not to man, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first, last. He alone is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah, we give you glory. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, Abba Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.